Hello, welcome to the Vice Gaming Podcast. This is an E3 2016 wrap special. We're going to be talking about the best games of E3, the worst games of E3, and just hideous slices of what attempts to be pizza at E3, but not really sure what food group it belongs to. Hi. Hi, I'm Mike Diver, a Vice Gaming Editor here in not very sunny London. It's summer, apparently, but the weather en masse hasn't decided to show up. I'm here today with Sam Loveridge, Gaming Editor of Digital Spy. I realise I'm shouting.
That's all right.
I'm really shouting. We're in a large room on our own, and I'm shouting. Sam, Digital Spy, gaming, how's everything going over there?
Yes, all right. It's pretty busy. Nice quiet-ish week after E3.
It's a come-down week, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there's like no news. It's great.
There's no news. Everyone's still writing E3 news,
exactly.
I think. I mean, here we are. We're talking about E3, and it's like we've been home for nearly a week now.
Ugh, gross.
Because I was there with you, of course.
Of course.
Not just you. There were other journalists involved.
I'd be a bit weird otherwise.
We were the most important people there. But, I mean, it was your third E3.
I know. Crazy, right?
Why do you go back?
Well, LA's not great, but I love E3. I'm just basically like a kid in a candy shop, just bombing around, going, "Wee, all the things! Oh, my God!"
See, that's what I like to hear, the enthusiasm, because you speak to some people in the games industry, in the press, publishers, whoever, PRs, and they're like, "Oh, shit, E3 again. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be pissed off, get no sleep, jet lag, stupid fucking journalists everywhere, just dudes with tat
rubbish
and bags,
food,
massive
yeah.
bags, yeah, shit food, Saddle Ranch, you know." But I thought it was all okay, you know.
Yeah, it was quite like straightforward this year, which is quite nice.
Felt all right.
Your first one, right?
This was my first one. I mean, for all I know, it might be my last one. So I was making the most of it. E3 might not happen next year. I don't know.
Don't say that.
I was talking to some people. I was talking to some people fairly high up the ladder at a certain publisher. And, well, you know, also...
Vice Inside Scoops.
Inside Scoops. Not that's Inside Scoops. I think a lot of people were saying this. You know, the way that this year that Activision didn't do a big thing. You know, they did stuff with Sony. EA did theirs. Not, you know, they had a separate event, didn't they, from everything else. That maybe if that trend continues, they won't do it so much. But
we're just like loads of little teeny events.
Yeah, those like a South by Southwest or Great Escape, but for games maybe in LA. It
sounds faffy to me.
Faffy, that's right. It should be pointed out that you know the way E3 works is most of the games you get to see as a member of the press are all in the same place in the LA Convention Center, right? So you're there for 3 days.
And you just bomb it up and down between the halls.
Just running between halls.
High-fiving people as you walk past.
That's right. Taking the top line, I believe. Always take high line.
Yeah.
There are different floors to the conference centre, and if you can find the nice high line, you stay away from the crowds. It's a beautiful trick, right? It's not even a trick.
No.
Everyone does it.
It's just the press route.
But everyone can do that, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But only journalists do it.
I think because everyone wants to have the ambiance and the experience.
So they just
want to
be handed like paper masks and large bags to put things in.
Oh, those bags you can fit like
persona bags,
in
right?
Them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, I would have a field day in Aldi with one of those bags if I'd have brought one home. But yeah, I wanted to talk about the main issues of E3 this year, the big talking points, based on what I knew before I went out there, and of course. You know, Xbox versus PlayStation, new hardware, VR, it's all very exciting. But toilets.
Toilets.
Sam. Now, toilets are a big talking point because, you know, the games industry is male dominated.
Yep, sure.
Food at E3, in America, generally, it's quite meat dominated, meat and dairy. By the last day of E3, I was hearing things in the gents' laboratories.
Oh.
That were like, you know, the bog of eternal stench in Labyrinth, right? There were noises coming out of some of those cubicles that were not unlike that movie. I mean, were the ladies okay?
Do you know what? The best thing about game shows and things like that is there's never a queue for the ladies. That's like a miracle. That never happens. But they're always very beautiful, very clean. This year there was like weird Gears of War stickers on the mirrors,
yes.
though, that were really small.
To put your face.
Yeah.
In.
But you had to be about 2 foot to be able to like let the perspective work.
Yeah, and then you would, because of course you'd take a photograph of yourself,
selfie
in a toilet at the LA Convention Center, wouldn't you? That was brand new. To be fair, that's about the most I saw of Gears of War 4 actually at the whole of E3. So Very maybe they did something right. But the toilets were okay.
Yeah, they're
all right. So I don't know. I mean, I heard horror stories. I didn't die, so that's something. But I, you know, I did have to tread carefully because the food there, you know, it is just pizza, it's hot dogs, it's fries, it's... I mean, I didn't really see any sign of healthy food at E3, did you? There was a smoothie stall.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't $6 eaten smoothies. Lunch at E3 for 3 years.
No lunch.
So I did have a very good cookie at Team 17's booth, but, yeah, apart from that, no lunches.
Do you know, Team 17, I went there to see Ukulele.
Oh, it's great,
and,
isn't it?
It's lovely. Ukulele, really big fan of that, being made by Playtonic, kind of, you know, throwback platformer vibes. Really nice, bright, colourful, beautiful game. Do you want a drink, they say to me? I'll just have a water, please. We've run out of water.
What?
What kind of fucking waste of time company runs out of water? I love you, Team 17. I'm just being down here for no reason.
Just a very thirsty journalist.
I was just very thirsty. I took a bottle of Sprite in the end.
That's probably better because it's got a little bit of sugar.
Well,
and...
I don't know. That was a day... I finished up at Devolver. I didn't even have a beer with Devolver. I mean, what the hell is the... I know, right? They had a... We'll get on to all these things. This is game chat. I want to talk about fashion first.
Fashion
at E3. I want to talk about fashion.
What fashion?
Just one particular thing. Well, you know, I think the men of E3 were very careful to not wear their E3 uniform of, like, a plaid shirt and jeans. I respected that a lot. But
brave.
Coming from, you know, a background of someone who went to gigs a lot, you would never wear... the t-shirt of the band you were going to see to the gig by that band, right?
Is that only if you're like a 14-year-old girl?
I don't know where the lines are drawn, really, but something I did notice at E3 is that, you know, a lot of people, and I hesitate to say punters because it's all industry.
There were some punters this year.
There were some punters. Filthy, but I knew I could smell something different.
just a little bit of Gamescom sniff there, I
these
think, going
normies
on.
These normies, they get everywhere. But yeah, just, you know, big... fat game t-shirts to game events. I don't know. Unless you're working the stalls, I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, you were sporting, you know, some good threads, right?
Oh, thanks.
Of course, you know. Lovely blouse. I just didn't remember a lovely blouse. A lovely blouse at the EA conference, possibly.
Probably, to be fair.
Well, we were trying to work through the haze of Snoop Dogg's bifter, of course. If anyone saw the Twitter post around Snoop Dogg sparking up during the hands-on session with Battlefield 1. Oh boy, the Novo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At LA Live. Goodness me,
you
could cut the air.
Yeah,
you could cut the air. But I mean, you know, people need to be smarter. There was a lot of slumming around. You know, I think it looks bad for the games industry when the people of LA see everyone chuck out of the convention centre and they just look like they haven't slept for 3 days, which might well be the case, but they haven't got changed for 3 days as well.
Yeah, I think there's one thing sort of. Professing your undying love to a game, but then there's another thing of just looking a bit scruffy and sort of not representing the media in the way that it should be.
Says me, who was probably one of the scruffiest people in there.
Hey, you weren't wearing a game tee, so it's all right.
No, I didn't wear a game t-shirt. I did actually, on the very last day when I was going home, inadvertently wear a game t-shirt.
What I don't like is you see the people the day after wearing the free t-shirt they got the day before. It's like, did you not bring any clothes?
That's a big no, isn't
it?
That's just, a big no. The free t-shirts as well.
I mean, we all collect them. But...
Do you know, that gives me a nice segue? Is that the right word? Yeah. Or is that something you ride?
I think they're both. You can ride into the next conversation.
You can ride into the next session because t-shirts, tat. You know, you're a journalist, you go to these things. Gamescom, they're all the same. EGX, you go visit publishers, play games. They want to give you tat.
Yeah.
What was your E3 tat game like this year? Because mine was poor.
You're poor?
I brought home one bit of tat.
What was it?
It was a Lego Dimensions figure.
Oh, yeah, but that's pretty cool, though.
I mean, that doesn't even qualify as tat. That's fucking... That's quality
that's
merchandise.
Yeah.
I showed that over Skype to my five-year-old, and he was just like, Dad, just come home now. I don't even care what you've got to do tomorrow. Forget work. Bring that Green Arrow home. I'm going to put him with Batman. We're going to take on...
It's an E3 exclusive as well.
Well, that's ish for a while, Yeah, if you went to see Lego Dimensions at E3, great game.
Amazing
game. But yeah, they you could get a little Green Arrow figure and it was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean,
the
number of times you're offered t-shirts, it's like, nah, fuck off, don't need a t-shirt.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I bought a few home just because it's like, you know, bedtime wear, it's fine.
Gardening wear, right?
Yeah, or, you know, gym if you're looking super
there
geek.
There you go.
But the best tat I got this year, I say tat, is prime merchandise, this is, was the Xbox pins.
Okay.
So every time you saw
a
game,
so you can
pop
children's
Xbox,
balloons.
Yeah.
At their party. When someone's having a PlayStation party, you can walk in with your Xbox pins and just upset a bunch of kids.
Yeah. Well, they had like collector's editions, so they had like a little recall badge, little Xbox controller badge, Sea of Thieves, and you could collect them for every game. And I guess for the punters, that's great.
Oh, so as you went around,
you could play the
game and get a pin.
Yeah. And
everyone
had them like on their E3 lanyard thing, which was really cool.
Yeah, I want to say that Devolver did something a bit like that at Gamescom last year, where they had badges if you went around. I remember playing Mother Russia Bleeds there and having a badge given to me for that game. That's quite nice. And it's small.
Then they were like nice metal pins as well. They're done properly, not just like...
So if you collected enough of them, you could put them in a sock, for instance.
Yeah.
Spin that sock around your head and just knock someone out.
You could do that, or you could just wear them.
You could just wear them. I'm always thinking about the aggressive possibilities of free tap. I mean, it's really hard to do that kind of thing with a USB.
Yeah.
Distinct lack of USBs, though.
That's I've had enough of them.
I was on one trip once, moons ago, where someone was like, do you want to capture any footage? I was like, no, I don't need to do that. But they gave me a 32 gig USB SA.
Yes, I will capture some footage.
And they were like, you can just have that. We don't need it. Okay. Are you sure?
That's usually brilliant. They're like 2 gigs with like a press release on them and a picture, and you're like,
32?
Nah.
There was nothing on it. That was a Ubisoft thing. Thanks, Ubisoft. your Assassin's Creed didn't work, but your USB was just perfect. So the tat. I will get onto games, I promise, but I want to say that in the last podcast, Steve Burns may well have talked a bit about E3, because I know we got onto it at the end, and he probably mentioned boozing, and where I was staying in West Hollywood was right next to what is apparently infamous, the Saddle Ranch.
Yeah.
You were definitely there one night, because I saw the back of your head.
Maybe.
I'd stopped in for like one drink one night.
I didn't even see you.
And like, oh no, I was in and out, like something that's in and out very quickly. I ran into a young man from PC Games N and a young man from MCV, and we had a little conversation for a while. A young lady from Capcom was there and some other people. I keep them nameless, just in case. I don't want to, like, implicate anyone in a crime, you know. I don't know what might have happened later that evening. I don't want to bring anyone into the equation that doesn't want to be involved. But, yeah, it's a chop house, right, on the Sunset Strip, on the Sunset Boulevard. And
it's not great.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Why'd you go there? There's just a bloody mechanical ball in the middle and then a massive bar. And, like, we got there at, like, 7, mistake, because there's no one there. And you realise how horrible it is in the daylight. And you're like, what is going on?
Oof.
So the thing is, apparently, when you go there on your first E3, you're meant to ride the bull. But it was
your first E3?
Because this is the first time I've been to Saddle Ranch in my 3 years of E3. I've managed to dodge it every time. And I can see why now, because every time you try and leave, someone buys you a drink, and then you can never get out.
Right.
Until someone locks the door behind you, and then you're broken for the rest of the week.
So on that night, what time did you crawl away at?
Might have been like 2:33 in the morning.
3 a.m. I was slumbering peacefully in my hotel room.
I just got off the plane, so I was proper broken.
So that was your way of combating jet lag, was to go straight to a bar with a mechanical bull in it.
Yeah, and watch other people grind strangely sexily on this weird ball.
It did feel a little bit like a dirty pickup joint as well.
Yeah, because the guy controlling it was obviously having far too much
fun. Oh, the mechanical bull guy. Yes, I overheard that you can slip him some dollars and he will do terrible things to the person on that bull.
Oh my God.
So,
thank you.
Dear the Saddle Ranch, please don't write in. That's just what someone told me anecdotally. It wasn't a member of your staff. So, who incidentally, a member of their staff gave me a free lemonade.
Oh, nice.
So
we got free candy floss, and it was the size of my whole body. So
that
was amazing.
That's good. Yeah. But then again, you know, a pint of basic lager in there is like $10. So, they make their money. Should we talk about some games?
Yeah,
because I don't even know how long we've been recording for now. Let me just, check this thing here. Just talking about tat and some other nonsense. It's like quarter of an hour.
Oops.
That's good. Let's spend quarter of an hour talking about games. Or maybe 20 minutes. Let's see how we go. Because lots of games were announced. New games. Some games were showcased that we knew about. Sam, I'm going to ask you the biggest games that really stood out for you. The kind of big, badass, AAA, here's $1 million thrown at, you know, marketing $1 million. Imagine. You wouldn't get very far with that money, would you? Millions of dollars later, you know, the big deal games that you saw that most impressed you, what were they?
It's got to be Zelda, right?
Zelda, yes, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, although I deliberately, accidentally wrote it. It was called Breath of the Life.
Breath of the Life, that's good. I wrote like Breath of Dawn.
Oh, there we go.
That was like earlier today, I think. And what is, I don't know what Breath of Dawn is. Is that, that feels like that's another Nintendo franchise.
It's like a
or
cross
something.
Between Horizon Zero Dawn and Zelda.
Yeah,
open world beauties, both with
lots of grass in them. Yeah, and rideable things.
Yeah. I was quite impressed by like the art style and just the way it's sort of like watercolory cell shadedness and very pretty, but poor old Wii U, eh? It's just.
The thing, the great thing I think about Nintendo's whole stance with taking that to E3 and pretty much just that. Is that everyone who owns a Wii U wants that game and wants to know about it. The 40 million people who own a PS4, they don't all want to buy Horizon Zero Dawn, they don't all want The Last Guardian, and they don't all want Days Are Gone. Days Gone.
Yeah.
The new one they showed off.
But not a zombie game.
Not a zombie game. I'm sure we might touch upon that later.
Zombie game,
I wasn't moved by that one. But Zelda, totally. I mean, it just shows you don't need to have the most powerful hardware to produce a beautiful game.
Yeah.
It was doing new things that we hadn't seen in Zelda before. It named Link, which I thought was quite interesting. At least in the trailer, actually said his name, or potentially
and
her name. We don't know yet.
Still doesn't speak.
Well, maybe he / she, they will. I don't know.
Linkle.
I don't know. I've heard and read conflicting reports about it. It's definitely just a dude, and also maybe you might be able to change that. I don't know.
Ooh.
Don't know.
I hope not. It's like, I'm all for gender diversity, but he's Link.
You like Link to be manly Link. He's not very manly, though, is he?
He's like a little puny boy man thing, but yeah, he's always been a boy. Why change it now? That's the story, right?
I mean, do you think that one game approach was good for Nintendo, though? Because, I mean, that did feel, when you were out on the show floor, the queues for that were always massive.
Yeah, someone told me they had the biggest 5 hours queues at some points.
For like 20 minutes, or if that, of playing it, right? 15, 20 minutes.
But taking one game to E3 is seriously impressive. Like, did you go in the booth?
I didn't get to go in there, but it was like a grotto, right? Like a Zelda grotto.
You went into this like little cute little
I did
temple.
Poke my head through. I did do that much. Yeah.
And then you walked on the floor and like certain points like triggered things happening. So you'd, the little pot where he cooked stuff sort of came to life and all these mushrooms are flying about. And it was great. It's like actually you sort of felt like you were in Hyrule even though you're in the middle of the Los Angeles Convention Center.
And
they had a weather system in a booth and a night and day cycle. Like, who does that? Only Nintendo,
because they are like Lego and Disney, these workers of magic, I think. You know, I don't think their games are made. They're just spun on a wheel. Well, they're not made in the normal way, you know. They're weaved.
Sprinkled with fairy dust.
Well, you know, apart from the kind of churned out Mario Party kind of games. But yeah, I talk about
them, it's fine.
Yeah, I think Zelda was... I didn't even get to play it. And I was... just struck by the popularity of that and how everyone wanted to know about it. Everyone wanted to see it.
It was quite
sweet. Up against the big Xbox and PlayStation hitters.
It was quite sweet on the booth. Like, you could see is it Trico, the dog from Last Guardian?
Last Guardian.
He was just
next
on this big panel,
yeah.
just sort of like looking in, like, can I come in there? And this is the divide now. This is the.
In a weird way, it was
boys.
Good. It was almost good to see that next to something like that. It was obviously just complete coincidence and stuff. You know, you've got the. Because that's the big Sony, softy, strokey, magical world game, isn't it? The Last Guardian, which you didn't get to play, unfortunately, but I did.
Sad.
I did.
And what did you think?
I thought it was great if you come from the background of already liking Shadow of the Colossus, because it shares the director. It shows its roots as a PS3 game originally by being not quite as visually arresting as what we know very well the PS4 is capable of. Looks fine, you know. It's a bit like saying it wouldn't look out of place graphically, I don't think, on the Wii U, to be honest. It doesn't look like it's doing much more that the Wii U can't. Sorry, I didn't realise that's a bit of a moment, but you know what you said about things being stylized. It is heavily stylized.
Especially in the press conference next to things like God of War and Horizon Zero, it's like, I'm not sure about those graphics.
Yeah, it does look... Some people say it looks ropey. I think it just has a certain singular appeal to it. You're the little boy. You direct this large mythical beast, this Trico, sort of cat, bird, raccoon, eagle...
Super cute, though.
...thing with talons. kind of cute but terrifying at the same time, because it kind of wants to eat you to begin with. You know, we played a section at E3 about 40 minutes in total.
Oh, wow.
So in a dark room. So proper, and we were told this is the start of the game. This isn't a demo we've made for E3. This is the game. Not quite finished, not quite there, you know, so forgive any little bugs. That's what we were told. I didn't notice anything.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of reports about the camera being a bit quirky, so maybe they'll tighten that up, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, you kind of start and you free this beast and you make that beast your friend and you break out of this kind of enclosed cave complex and off you go on your adventure from there.
It's solving puzzles and shit.
Yeah, there's a small bit of puzzle solving. You get a little shield to I'm going to cough now, so do forgive me, listeners.
We've both got the E3 lurgy.
We got a little bit of E3 lurgy. But yeah, you get a kind of a mirrored shield and you can direct a beam of light onto part of the environment, and Trico will blast that point with a lightning bolt out of its tail to break stuff down. Yeah, you can climb on his back to reach higher points. I'm guessing there might be some combat interaction later on where he can, you know, become more aggressive. I've seen pictures of these kind of armoured knight things that are probably out to get that or to stop you. But it all looks really interesting and very intriguing, very much in that same atmospheric place as Shadow of the Colossus and Ico came from. So,
do you think a game like that sort of has a place in today's gaming? Because it feels like
it's not going to be big.
Yeah,
it won't be big.
I was looking at their exclusives at the end of the year, and that's kind of it.
Yeah,
like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's their only exclusive this Christmas.
Well, they've got the big VR push, haven't they?
Yeah.
For 2016.
If you're not bothered by that, you've kind of just got Last Guardian or Cross
Platform. I think they're making it so you have to be bothered, aren't they? that very much came out of E3 for me. It was like, look at all of our VR. Seriously, it's loads. I think they've promised, is it 50 games?
Yeah.
Yeah, 50 games before
That's
Christmas.
That's pretty impressive.
I imagine getting PSVR for Christmas, knowing that there's already that amount of software to go after.
Yeah.
Some of which is going to be crap. Of course it will.
And you've got to pay for it all, though. That's the problem.
It's going to be interesting to see what the kind of bundles and stuff are.
Yeah.
I've seen some American pricing and some American deals. I might talk a bit about VR in a minute. I'll try and keep that snappy. But other kind of big AAA, as you mentioned, Horizon Zero Dawn. I did play that, really enjoyed that. That's the big robot dinosaur, Zoids, bows and arrows, tribal conflict.
Gingerhead lady.
Pretty badass. Played a lot like The Witcher, actually.
Oh, really? Nice.
I thought. Very much a kind of like multi-levels of quests, crafting involved. We were told it's not hard RPG in that sense. That was really hard to say.
Hard RPG.
But, you know, you do get components. You can make things like traps or like boost your armor and stuff. It's more about buying than making, though. So you can collect stuff and go and trade it for other better gear.
That's cool.
But yeah, you can convert some of the robot beasts, and they'll either fight for you or you can ride them.
Oh yeah, riding that like robot bull thing looked amazing.
Yeah, it's called a broadhead.
Oh. I mean,
for reasons that are quite obvious, it has a broad head. But yeah, they kind of roam in packs, I guess, or herds, small herds. And yeah, you can creep up on one and change it to be friendly towards you. Then you can call it in the middle of battle. I think I showed it in the demo.
Yeah.
So you can call it in the middle of a battle, jump on, then you've obviously got increased speed.
Yeah,
yeah, mobility. I really enjoyed it. It's open world. It looks lovely. When you're up close with it, it doesn't look quite as flashy as it does in the demos.
Oh, really?
Of course it doesn't. But that's like, do you remember...
I just feel like Sony, that they've seen Uncharted and then gone to all their developers, like, right, this is the bar... Make everything as pretty as this, otherwise.
Horizon
go back.
Is not at that Uncharted level, but not a lot is.
Yeah.
To be fair. it could well get nicer. It's very, very attractive, don't get me wrong. And when I say like it's not quite as good as what you think you've seen, that's like, I remember, again, it's the Witcher thing, but when the Witcher was first sort of traded, like, wow, this looks amazing, and then it comes out and people are like, oh, it doesn't look as good as it did before. Still looks flipping amazing.
Yeah.
And this is very much like that. It still looks incredible.
Okay, so it's not quite like Watch Dogs.
No, nothing like that. No, it's still a very, very good-looking game. I'm pretty impressed with that. So I did play that. What did you play that you really, really enjoyed then?
It's going to sound really lame, but Forza Horizon 3.
No, that doesn't sound lame at all.
Oh, my God, that game is so pretty.
Open world racing across the outback, right?
Yeah, and it's brilliant. Like, I don't know whether you went and spoke to them, like, BCD, behind closed doors, but they were, like, bragging about the skies. So they like they went to Australia for like a summer, and I was just like, "What, on holiday?" And they were like, "No, no, we were working." But they just got these
just taking pictures of the sky.
No, they got like 12K camera rigs, HDR rigs, and filmed the sky for the whole summer. So when you're playing, you're driving through, and you look at the sky. They are real skies and weathers and things like that that actually happened in Australia last summer. Mm. And that's why it feels so like real and amazing when you just like. Well, sit in your car and look at the sky, but...
Yeah. I mean, is there a worry that the environments will be so pretty that you just won't care about where you're going?
It's just like,
I know
crashing into trees.
I'm meant to achieve this objective. You know, you run over a possum or something. And like, I did ask, actually, you mentioned about going behind closed doors. I spoke to Shannon Loftus, who's one of the main people. I can't remember her exact, but she's like head of global planning for Xbox or for Microsoft or something. And she said, you know... She did the classic, I shouldn't say this, but
I really
like Forza Horizon 3. And she was just like, just talking about how beautiful it is. And like the trailer they were showing off Microsoft. I think that was from the big Xbox presentation. That was probably the game that I looked at and thought, even though I'm not a big racing game fan, I just want to be in that world.
Yeah.
I know it's the real world. It's Australia. You can go there if you want.
Apparently there's something called planes.
But it's cheaper to buy like a £50 video game.
Yeah, they spend like £1,000 on a
holiday. Whatever it costs to get to Australia. You played it though. It feels good?
Yeah, they've got like a much better variety in vehicles. They've got little buggies for the first time that you can like do flips in and stuff. And the cars just feel great. It doesn't matter if they don't feel quite as different or as realistic as something like, you know, Forza 7 or
Forza 6. But this is fantasy fulfillment stuff, isn't it? That's Horizon's bag.
Yeah.
It's very much about the kind of like...
Your bucket list stuff.
Yeah, totally, yeah. I mean, whereas Forza Motorsport is the more simulation-based thing, right?
And I'm much more down the arcade route, so it just like ticks all my boxes, basically. It's like, it looks good. Something you want to play on the Xbox One and show off to your mates. Mm. And it's also the one that will make you be social and chat with people and challenge people to races. And you can create your own tracks and festival now.
Okay,
so it's all about like personalization and customization.
And share those, presumably, with the World Wide Web. It did look really good. Was there anything else? I mean, I kind of realised subsequently that a lot of the things I'd been to see or a lot of things I'd certainly stood out for me were kind of, well, Nintendo, Zelda aside, were kind of PS4 or multi-format. I didn't actually poke my face into a lot of Xbox exclusive things. Did you see any other Xbox exclusives? Sea of Thieves maybe, which I think looks great.
It's tricky. I think playing it with my mates with a beer in my hand and, you know, going on your swashbuckling adventures was great, but would I want to play it again? Maybe not.
Without that.
Yeah.
This guy's my mate context.
Yes, and like in a situation where you're next to them. I don't know whether they're playing it in your house and sort of roaming the seas for hours and hours.
Laughing at a TV.
Seeing like a little crazy lady on your own is going to have the same appeal. And they're being quite strange about what you can actually do and how many people you'll be playing
They
with.
Being, well, rare are making,
rare,
aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, we were asking them, like, what else can you do apart from, you know, go on the ships and stuff? And they were like, there's some treasure hunting stuff, but...
I mean, it's multiplayer-focused, isn't it? I don't know what there's going to be in terms of, like, for solo players to do in it. I mean, did they mention anything about...
Like, a smaller boat, so you can have, like, one- or two-man boats. But obviously, if you're coming up against these sort of eight-player gigantic things, then you're not going to stand much of a chance, really, unless you team up again with some other people who've also got little tiny boats.
But... Okay, so the game wouldn't... For instance, match you in a sea with people of your level, or maybe it will.
I guess so. They haven't really talked about matchmaking and stuff yet, but it seems like the actual amount of people you can have in your map is quite limited because they want it to be a rare occurrence that you come up with another ship and have a battle and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting to see how it develops.
See what you did there. I was going to smash through some other, triple A's. You play Resident Evil 7?
I did.
Good, isn't it?
I was a bit disappointed. And I don't like scary games. Can't stand them.
I didn't think it was that scary.
No.
But I like the fact that it's first person. I like the fact that it's a lot more intimate than like where 5 and 6 went, which were the big shootouts, the big set pieces.
They didn't feel like it at all, did they?
Yeah, this had the claustrophobia again.
Yes.
So that was a good thing for me.
I was very panicky before I went in. Especially in the big Capcom creepy house that they had at E3 as well.
Capcom made a house. It was good, actually. I was just putting my headset on because they showcased it in VR. And as I put it on, I just put my headphones on, I just heard a shriek.
Oh my God.
And I started saying, wait, was that in the game? And I was reassured, no, that's the someone in the next room just having a panic attack.
That's not reassuring.
They're freaking out. And I genuinely thought, is that just like some background shrieking in the game? No, that's someone next door who's freaking out over this. So it did get to some people. Yeah. Then, like, you know.
What I liked about it was the lack of music.
Yeah.
You know when like you watch a horror movie and it's changed to minor, you know, it's all going to come and you're going to get a boo scare. Didn't happen. It was very quiet. The occasional little creak of floorboards or can fall off, and that's what made it, I think, even more claustrophobic, because you're just like listening to the silence and waiting.
Yeah.
Which made it very creepy.
And then nothing comes, and a fucking mannequin.
Oh my
falls
god! I
over.
Jumped out my skin.
Apparently everyone falls over. Right? It didn't bother me. The game didn't get to me. It didn't get under my skin or anything like that. But I did jump at the mannequin.
Yeah.
And I came back outside and I spoke to someone and I was like, one bit got me, guess what it was? And she was like, mannequin.
Yeah, the mannequin.
Everyone got done by the mannequin. I don't know if anyone playing at home, because it was you could download it for your PS4, maybe had the same mannequin jump. Maybe it's not so scary and
well,
without being in VR.
There's 7 endings to that little
to
demo.
To the demo?
Yeah. Every time you play it, it gets a little bit better.
I've
a little
seen
bit
two.
Different. So I think I need to play it like a million times at home this weekend.
There's like 7 ghost sightings, isn't there?
Oh, really?
Yeah, ghosts in the... There's a bit, you know, the bit of the game where you play the footage that you find?
Yeah.
But you're playing it as you
like
go?
Like a cameraman.
Yeah, when you're the cameraman. You can catch glimpses of a ghost in
what?
That bit. It's all over the internet. It's all over the internet. I've been looking at it. The fact that when I... Like, a couple of days after I played it, I was like, I just need to know more about this.
Yeah.
Because I'm literally spoiling it for myself. Yeah. What's the finger for? Why are these mannequins? Because the mannequins move as well.
Yeah.
You can turn around and they've moved position.
Like the ones up in the attic.
Yeah, the ones upstairs, bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But on one of them, at least, you can break.
Really?
Yeah, because I got the axe and I broke one of the mannequins.
What, in your VR demo?
No, not in the VR demo, but since I got it at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I haven't said touch it again, just in case
you
I
go.
Actually am freaked out at home.
You can break one of the mannequins. I like that. I'm thinking, I quite like the look of the new Call of Duty. I know a lot of people are not fast, but I thought that's a good move for them. Spaceships,
bang-bangs.
They made
the wrong move in terms of the way that they put the trailers out.
Yeah.
The first trailer was not that good, as you can tell by the most disliked
Lots
video on the
internet. Lots of dislikes later.
But the second trailer they showed at the PlayStation conference... It showed it off in a much better light. Mm. It's like, that's what I want to play. I want to play Call of Duty in space.
Grappling hooks, spaceships, boom.
Yeah.
It was almost like we don't even, you know, that was almost like a counter to Titanfall 2, right?
Yeah.
It was like the first one was like, this is not like Battlefield. And now it's kind of like, well, this one's a bit like Titanfall 2, but you know.
You've got a nice little end of year sandwich with those three as well. I think it's like Battlefield first, then Titanfall, then Call of Duty.
It's something like that, yeah. I mean, if you're a shooter fan, you're sport for choice.
FPS of the year, which one's it going to be?
I kind of got the impression from E3 that a lot of people were into Battlefield more, but I'm still a little bit comsy-comsar on the whole First World War setting and kind of making it into a fun roller coaster adventure in the First World War. Oh, I saw like some of the footage and they're running through trenches and I'm just thinking, no, I watched Blackadder. I know that it wasn't all fun and games. Cool, let's transition slightly to, and I won't dwell upon it, but a few games that maybe you weren't so swung by. Because there were a few for me that I went to see that I was like, yeah, I'm not really into this. And I've got to say that Days Gone was one of them, actually.
Oh, really?
What I saw in the big Sony presentation, I thought, there's a guy with a gun shooting not zombies.
Not zombies.
Called freakers, apparently. Because you're going to keep saying that, aren't you? Oh, man, when the freaker menace rose. It's fucking zombies, right?
What is it, the herd or the horde? Or
just pack? I mean, there was a lot of them on screen.
Yeah.
Apparently that counts
as one enemy or something.
Oh, right, okay.
That massive, like, swell of
Does that mean
freakers?
There's, like, a sweet, like, middle freaker or something? If you kill them, the rest will die.
Hopefully.
Like, find
That'd
the sweet spot or something. Otherwise, it'd be nightmarish.
Yeah, because, like, when he's up on that... like lighthousey type thing.
Like a lookout.
And they're all around him. I'm like, I'm not sure about that. That's terrifying.
It looked all right, but it didn't look like anything apart from the kind of physics, I suppose, of the horde of these enemies. I thought it looked a bit generic. And as soon as I saw, I'll tell you what did it for me, that I was like, nah, I'm probably out, is where this guy who's a biker has a denim jacket with biker written on it. You know,
have
it's
you heard
like
what his name is as well.
Oh, it's something St. John, isn't it?
Deacon St. John.
Deacon St. John.
In the list of the worst characters in the world, the names he is at the top.
But I like to think. I mean, you know, it'll probably. That's quite all right. It'll probably play fine.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal. It's been made by Bend, of course, Sony's Bend Studio, which has done the PSP Resistance. I don't want to say they did Uncharted
as well, yeah.
Golden Abyss, didn't they? So they've got a bit of a point to prove being on a big console again after Siphon Filter years ago.
So I think it looks quite good. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people
Sons
really into
Anarchy,
it.
Walking Dead, Last of Us 2.
Yeah, it's ticking. I can see why it's ticking those boxes, but I think because those boxes are so easily.
Yeah.
Like people like that, people like that, people like it seems that's not doesn't seem altogether. Risky. Yeah, it doesn't feel like a. It doesn't feel as much of a risk as the new God of War, I'll tell you that much, with the kind of new father-son dynamic that's going on.
That
and
really
I'm certainly not
people,
including
right?
that as something I don't like. I think God of War looks good.
Yeah, me too.
But we didn't get to play it or anything. We just saw everything that anyone at home would have seen.
Yeah.
You know, that was all we got.
Sadly, I would have liked to have played that.
Yeah. I didn't play any of Gears 4, but I'm slightly worried about that. I think that could fall into this. Because that's coming out later this year as well, amongst all those shooters. That could get buried,
yeah.
Possibly.
And I'm a massive Gears of War fan. And from what I've played of like the multiplayer from the betas, however you say it, always get it wrong. It looks great, but it just like... I play Gears of War for the story. Don't really care about the multiplayer, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about the co-op, and they've
only
shown
they
like a tiny bit off, haven't
old
they?
Old Daddy Marcus at the end, didn't they? Of their E3 trailer, just
cheeky
like, hey! It's a cheap move, isn't
it? But everyone's like, whoa, look at him, he's
quickly.
Old, he's quick.
Who can tweet this first? Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, touch wood, literally. I like Gears 1, 2, 3. Didn't play Judgment.
Yeah.
It's been sat on my Xbox for months. Because you could get it for free, couldn't you? When they remastered the original Gears. But yeah, I don't know about that.
Mafia 3.
Yeah, Mafia 3, the gameplay footage we all got shown of that I wasn't too into. Or I'm on the fence about, but that way.
Why
like,
don't they let us play it yet? It worries me.
Is it October?
Yeah, October
so
the
it's not,
7th or something.
So that's weird. Like, so we could play... I played Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
That's out in February.
Yep.
Last Guardian is October, so Mafia is October, but you can't play it at E3.
Again.
I guess they'll probably be hands-on at Gamescom.
I guess so. But surely if people are sort of starting to get worried about it, they should be, hey, it's amazing, look at this, we fixed all the things that no one liked from Mafia 2.
I think that's going to go up against Watch Dogs 2, isn't it, as the big kind of open world is for the end of the year. I like the setting, it's nice. Is it 60s? 70s? It's got to be late 60s, isn't it? Late 60s kind of New Orleans... analog New Bordeaux, I think they call it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually sat next to you in the presentation, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I was sat right next to you.
Oh, your three buddies.
It did look a bit rough around its edges.
It looked very grainy.
There were some
like,
close-ups of the characters that didn't look very good. Obviously, it's got driving in it. If those driving controls aren't good, that's going to be a factor. That was the problem with the first Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
The driving was pretty piss poor in that. If the shooting proves to be a bit floaty, then that's going to be a problem. I think it's got
It's got the problem it might be a bit repetitive as well, because if you have to have the conversation with your, like, squaddies every time you unlock a new thing, a new district...
Oh, the districts, yeah.
That's going to be like, oh, no, just got to balance everyone's mood. It seems like a bit...
Keep them happy, right? Because we saw... Yeah, that was the game which we saw, like... One of these guys, an Irishman, possibly.
Yeah.
You were meant to divvy up some turf to, you didn't.
And then he gets the hump.
And then he was upset. So you just went and killed him.
Yeah, which is a bit hardcore to me.
The conversation ends now. We'll just do some murdering.
Yeah. And that's meant to be his like new family, and he's really passionate about having a family and belongings to somewhere. And then if you don't keep him happy, you kill him.
You literally just kill him, because they're just
nice.
Dead weights around your neck otherwise. Yeah, I think that's got a lot to prove. Again, it doesn't fall into the kind of disappointment section for me quite, but I think it's definitely one that I need to see more of before... kind of landing an opinion of, you know, for a game that was so hyped and had such a big presence there, because it had a massive sort of kind of well, it did have a stage, it had a live band, didn't they? They played every day at E3.
Yeah, between 4 and 6, live blues every night. I could have just stayed there.
I mean, they had a massive presence, but it was a lot of noise. Here comes the aircon. It's really good noise. A lot of noise, but not a lot of substance.
Yeah.
and the lights are turning off. It's getting really, like, oh, it's not the aircon. Sorry, it's the shutters. I don't know if anyone can else hear. They probably can't hear that.
No, we're just being good, like crazy now.
I know. But it's totally fine. I did play Lawbreakers. I didn't like Lawbreakers. That's the boss key multiplayer shooter.
He doesn't like Cliffy B now, does he?
He doesn't like it. I did see him walking around, and he didn't look very happy. But then again, you know, he was at E3, so that's probably why. I saw a few relatively industry famous developers walk around who didn't look very happy, but that's what
happened. I didn't really see his game at E3, actually. You thought it would have made a bit more of a presence, actually, seeing that there's such a big name behind it. Yeah.
Was it out on the show floor at all?
Don't think so.
I played it.
It was just in one of the meeting rooms.
You know, in one of the meeting rooms, yeah. But
what do you think about FIFA, the new story mode, FIFA?
Oh, yeah, FIFA. Well, the story mode is, again, it taps into their, you know, fantasy football vibes they've got going on, which is obviously taking the opposite angle to Pro Evo, which has gone even more realistic this year, you know, for 2017. It's, you know, harder to keep control of the ball. The games are a tiny bit slower. You have to be more precise with your passes. It's all...
And the teams actually feel like teams, not Team A versus Team B.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, the team spirit is still a massive factor in how those players gel with one another. The FIFA story mode with, I want to say, Alex Hunter is his name. Yep. You know, this player.
Up and coming.
You know, it's going
to
be so...
Sign his first Premiership team. La, la, la.
It's going to be like a total soap opera, isn't it?
I've played a bit of it, and it's like super cheesy, but I don't think they mean to be
boom,
cheesy.
Boom, 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 and so forth. But yeah, did you actually play any of the actual kicking bit of it?
Yeah, the actual kicking. What do you mean, like the normal bit?
The running around chasing after a ball bit.
It's got very complicated.
They've changed corners, haven't they?
You got to aim a reticule in the penalty area. Yeah. Excuse me if I get all my football terminology wrong because I'm.
But you do. It's
learning.
A little dot, right?
Yeah.
Here's the little dot. You're going to kick it.
Yeah, you're kicking penalty. Then you've also got to position your receiver to hit that reticule. You can also hide the reticule so you're couch co-op person can't see it,
but then you can't see it,
which makes it even more impossible to do. And you've got to get your receiver in position and then kick it into goal if you can, but you've kind of just got to hold a million buttons in order to do
that. It feels very unnatural.
Yeah,
maybe people will get used to it, but I think the way that it feels like too much of a change in one single year.
Did you try penalties?
No, but apparently they're nightmarish.
They're even worse. You've got to like figure out how fast you want to run at the ball. Obviously, it's very different in real life because it all just...
Yeah, you can change your player's starting position, can't you, with the right stick? Same on free kicks, but...
It's so complicated. I just think this is supposed to be the arcade football sim, right? Yeah. Where you play with your mates and when you want to have a wind down.
Do you think that kind of stuff is going to be... Do you think EA will have to make it so you can turn it off?
I guess so.
Well, so you can play it like FIFA 16.
You can still play it how you used to. And I was like, I don't really see how.
Right.
Because unless you just don't aim the reticule and just go for it for corners and stuff.
Yeah, because the kind of the camera position for corners is totally different, isn't it? It's not behind the player anymore. It's like from the top down view again.
Yeah, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I like the corners and penalties aside, I like the way that the team is behaving now. There's lots more jostling. Mm. Obviously, I can't say that word.
Well, the physicality, the kind of physical side of these things gets better every time, doesn't it? With collision detection and like just better animations, really better
now
responses.
It's on Frostbite as well. That should make a difference, although from what I've played so far, like, it doesn't look that much better than FIFA 16. So we'll
I think it makes it easier for them to kind of drop stadiums into place.
Yeah,
I think that's a factor.
Playing stadiums at night looks amazing as well. The lighting's definitely come on a lot.
It's going to be I don't know, maybe they felt they had to make this move at some point. It may as well be now. They can make refinements for FIFA 18, I suppose. I mean, it's going to do okay, isn't it? It's still going to sell the numbers. It's FIFA. It's
FIFA and COD. They're kind of like...
They're both kind of invincible. Stuff that flew under the radar, indie games, and also I want to just... Like, Kojima came out at the Sony conference.
Like a rock star.
Just curtain went up. The big screen went up, didn't it? It was like... And he just came out, and I'm pretty sure he just said, "Hi, I'm back." Or something. That was it, right?
And it was the Mad Max music.
Is that what it was?
Amazing.
Mad Max.
I was just like, wow.
But he was showing Death Stranding, or not showing it. It was a trailer.
Oh my god!
For a game called Death Stranding that might have nothing to do with the end game whatsoever. It had Norman Reedus and a baby and some dead shit on a beach, right?
Yeah, and he hasn't got a belly button. He's got a weird scar. And it was all very weird.
black ink.
Yeah, footprints in the sand.
Dead stuff, floating people.
Yeah, there's. I love the conspiracy theories.
There are lots of good theory articles on that internet, yeah. I like to think that it's a total smokescreen, like the end game's just going to be like a first-person shooter or something. Just something really basic. Or it's going to be like, what is it, Penguin Adventure 2 or something, the first thing you did for Konami. It'll be like, yeah, tricked you. Norman Reedus is the penguin, or not that penguin, you know, is the penguin star of Penguin Adventure.
Bingo.
But like the reception he got was amazing. It's weird, we don't think of, you know, people in gaming as having these kind of rock star personas, but like, you know, he does, doesn't he?
He does.
The way the room lit up when he was on that stage.
This woman in front of me, she leapt out of her seat, threw her hands in the air, it was, wah, doing all these noises, like, oh my God.
Did she spill her drink or something?
I don't know, she just was having like a meltdown that he was there. I'm just like, he's just a guy. I mean, a pretty amazing game developer and stuff.
He's in Brighton next month. down the road from where I live. Yeah,
yeah,
so
I've got an email about that soon. Well,
if anyone has any leads as to where Hideo Kojima is staying in Brighton for develop,
keep it quiet.
You can email me in strict confidence and I will not tell anyone, but I will be loitering outside his
just
hotel
stroke his t-shirt
room
as it goes past.
Just to touch him, just to find out what the hell is going on with this flipping game.
Yeah.
Which will hopefully come out some when. He doesn't make games quick, does he?
No, I think he said it's like at least 3 years away or something.
There you go.
So it'll be a while.
I'd
give
be
it
surprised
five, maybe.
If they've even started it.
Well, he's only just picked an engine.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. His trailer means nothing,
it's
and like yet it means everything.
It's like buying tickets for a train that hasn't been built yet. It's like
I like the analogy. It's a good analogy. I have to fight my way home on trains later, so I'll be thinking about that.
You're not one of those whales on the beach.
At least I'm not a dead whale on a beach of other dead whales. This is very true. I'm not that. Indie game stuff, though. I played Absolver from Slow Clap, a French studio that.
Nice.
Devolver are putting out online melee fighting game, multiplayer exploration game. Great. Kind of like, you know, really cool, stylish game. Really enjoyed that. Abzu, Underwater Journey 2
so
style.
Pretty.
Isn't it? That was like totally the most beautiful game, I think. Maybe alongside Zelda, then I'll let him off.
Yeah.
Of E3. And like you were saying about running between halls. That was between the halls, wasn't it? So you always
passed
the booth.
I saw someone with a fish head on.
Yeah.
Like,
but they had a really nice little stand, didn't they? And it was all like, they had little, well, they weren't real fish, it was projected fish on a screen. But, you know,
still
it was just like, I feel calm.
That's going to be like my new Journey, where you just want to have a little chill.
Well, it's the art director
music.
Of Journey who's made it. And the same person's doing the music. And
that's probably why, then.
It's all very Journey too.
Oops.
Was there any other kind of smaller things that you saw or you just saw trailers of or that you played that you were like, you know, do keep an eye out for this?
Oh, We Happy Few.
Okay.
That game is mental.
Is that multi-format? I know Xbox showed it off, but
I
is it multi-platform?
I think it is coming out on PC and PS4 as well.
Okay.
You can certainly pre-order it on Steam now because
I
checked.
Okay, cool.
But it must be based on Brave New World, right? The book.
It has that kind of weird dystopian breakdown.
Yeah,
vibes,
I only played it very, very briefly, but it was the same.
So you played
place.
It. How does it? It looks like it would control like Bioshock would or something like that.
Yeah, very, very much like Bioshock, sort of interacting with things very close up and then sort of wandering about. And there's a lot of melee combat, I think, because it's English-ish.
Yeah, well,
it is
set in England.
Yeah, so you've got like police
England.
Batons and
yeah.
stuff, and so it's quite physical and quite brutal.
Yeah, it's got Clockwork Orange vibes about it as well.
Again,
Shannon Loftus was very, very keen to big that up as well.
I love the art.
It looks amazing. She was also very keen to talk about Inside as well, which I.
Is that the new from Limbo?
From Limbo, the guys who. The Playdead who made Limbo. Side scroll. That's out really soon, like end of this month. So by the time you're listening to this, it might already be out. You might be able to play it. It might have bombed, or it might be game of the year. We don't know. You'll know before
I
we don't
how
know.
I like secretive they are about their games. Like, you have a little snippet of gameplay trailer, and then you've got no idea what it's going to be like when you play.
I know, right? And yet, when they were showing that off, that little trailer during the Xbox E3 conference, there were people back here in England who'd already played it from start to finish.
What?
Because in Edge this month, or the current issue of Edge at the moment, the Watch Dogs 2 cover, the preview of it, like, it basically says they finished it.
Oh.
So it's
teeny.
Well, it might not be tiny, but they might just have finished ages ago and go, here's the game, go and, but you can write
it. Oh, I thought you meant Edge have finished it. Like they finished they played it in
That's what was implied, that they finished the game, yeah. Oh. Like, we've seen it and finished it, I think was their words.
Interesting.
So, but Limbo was like, a 3-4 hour game.
Or depending
if
on
if you knew what
you
were doing, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I expect there are people who can finish it in significantly lesser time than that. I played it twice, and I remember the second time it was pretty quick, like about 3.5 hours.
The first time to me, significantly longer.
Oh, yeah, doing the same horrible bits over and over and watching the little boy die and die and die.
Hit the spikes, Lara Croft style.
It's pretty brutal. I don't know how brutal this next one will be, but we shall see. Ukulele, we mentioned, the Playtonic game, 3D platformer. Love the look of it. That's not out till 2017. Didn't actually get a chance to play it. Sat next to a guy who was playing it through.
But I was like, give me the controller, I want to play.
I know, right?
New Banjo-Kazooie, basically.
Just tell me what to do. I want to run around for a bit.
Yeah.
It looks really inviting. It's going to... Like, no, I know we've had, like, Ratchet and Clank come back and, you know, other kind of 3D platformers, but, you know, that Ratchet and Clank was very linear. This is very much go where you want to, when you want to, kind of old school style.
Yeah, and it's still got that sort of like old school music, like N64 style.
Yeah.
And none of the characters have got voices.
But that is fucking annoying, actually. Yeah. The gibberish. Is it gibberish or it's gibberish?
Gibberish,
right?
Yeah.
Why did I just, I don't know, I had a breakdown in my brain then.
It's Thursday night.
It's Thursday, it's getting late. But yeah, I did that. I was listening to that. Me, I'm going to throw something at my telly if I'm watching. I'm going to have to. There has to be an option to turn that shit off.
Yeah,
there will be.
They're very, very proud of it, and
they love it.
To begin with, it's fine. And when you were a kid playing those games, it was also fine.
That's what an N64 could do. You know, you weren't expecting hours of recorded speech.
But now it feels a bit like, oh god, that's really tedious and grating.
I don't know. That's maybe, like you say, people will love it. I think as long as there's the option to not have to listen to that, I'll be fine with it because I love everything else about it.
Yeah, the soundtrack's amazing. You just want to hear that and
I think the music might be by one of the guys who did Donkey Kong Country.
It
shares those vibes definitely. I didn't get to see Tacoma, the new one from the Fulbright Company, but I love the way that looks.
I played it at Gamescom last year, and it's great.
Yeah, still coming along. And I want to give a shout-out to a music kind of game called Thumper, just because that's been coming along for a while. It's on PSVR now as well.
Oh, cool.
It looks rad. It's like you control a bug going down crazy-ass corridors of light, bouncing off shit. And they call it... It's made by a two-person team called Drool... And they call it rhythm violence, not rhythm action.
Violence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So if you're in the market, it's like industrial noise rhythm action game. It's pretty intense already, and now it's going to be in VR as well. They were showing it off just after the PlayStation event. But weirdly, because we had an upstairs area, right, where the press could queue up for stuff. If you wanted to play the Batman VR game that was there, you basically couldn't.
Did you play it?
I did in the end. I played it. Went over to Warner's and played it. The Batman VR game, by the way, just to quickly touch upon this, because I know we've been talking a while, I thought it was really good.
It was the best thing I saw at E3.
There you go.
By a while.
Fantastic.
By a while?
By a while.
La, 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 la.
But you're Batman, right? I mean, that's cool. You're actually Batman.
Did you do the two halves of it?
I did both parts of the demo,
So there were two halves. The first bit, you know, you're in the Batcave, the suit comes down, you put your gloves on, then the cowl comes down, you put that on, and then a mirror comes down. You're just standing there, and you're Batman. And it is the coolest thing I've ever done. Doing a little jig as Batman, rolling my head and doing all this stuff. And I was like, that's it. That's all they need to do. I just need to stand in front of a mirror as Batman, and I'm sold on VR. But then the second half is like sort of detective mode from the Arkham series, but in VR, with you controlling time with your little...
It's reconstructing the scene, right?
Yeah.
That led to, no spoilers... Somebody's unfortunate situation. I mean, if you love those Rocksteady made Arkham games, people will buy VR for that, right?
Yeah.
People are going to buy it for that.
I think PSVR has totally nailed it. Like, I'm a massive VR supporter. I bought the Oculus Rift with my own money.
Imagine
that, mental, like, not just a
that's
PR
not even
thing.
Cheap. That's like, you know, that's a holiday, right? To buy that, pretty much. Yeah.
Like 500 quid or something.
Okay, maybe, well, you know, a good portion of
one of my holidays, my little long weekend
a couple of nights in the Saddle Ranch, that is, isn't it? Really? 500 quid.
Wouldn't even get you to LA, 500 quid.
It would not.
But, like, they haven't got the games yet. Oculus hasn't got the controllers, which is a massive issue. HTC Vive hasn't got the games, but PSVR's got both. It's got Batman, it's got Resident Evil.
Farpoint, which looks great with the new VR aim controller, isn't it? The gun-shaped controller.
I can't remember what else they showed off.
Psychonauts. They got a Psychonauts game, which I really enjoyed. Battlezone.
Oh, Battlezone's awesome.
Big shout out to Rebellion's VR Battlezone. Loved that. Really, really nice. Really nice. Just selling it short. Even some of the VR World stuff, you know, that kind of package
London
that they're putting
Heist
out with
is
it.
Awesome.
London Heist is great. I did, what did I do? I did the one where you have to headbutt a ball back.
Oh, is that called Headmaster?
Possibly. I don't know. It was like, it wasn't just a ball. I can't remember. It was a lot of head movement.
They've also got Final Fantasy, which will appeal to a lot of people, but apparently it's not very good.
The Final Fantasy VR thing. Right, I'm really looking forward to Final Fantasy 15, but the baggage that is coming with that game is threatening to drag it under, right? You've got the movie, there's the anime series, there's a whole load of pre-order attached. There's the car, the one-off car that's in the movie. And then this VR element that's based on the Episode Disguise demo. So you're fighting the, I can't remember what it's called, like One Eye or whatever his name is. The big behemoth jobby. And I agree. I'd look at it. I didn't play it. I'd look over and I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure about that. And someone came off and he was like, that's horse shit, don't bother. Like, just to my face. It's like, I was looking at that. You might not have seen horse shit.
If they did chocobo riding in VR, that would be cool.
Be into it.
Yeah, or just sitting in the car and taking off. That'd be pretty cool. But
Not sitting in the car, perving at the mechanic, which I think was part of that VR demo as well.
Yeah.
Not so
Don't
sure.
Don't get
about.
Me started on that one.
No. Otherwise, my wife pointed out to me when I was saying one time, like, you know, isn't she dressed inappropriately? She was like, well, she doesn't want to get oil in her clothes. This is perfectly reasonable clothing if you're going to get mucky.
But you get oil on your skin instead. So
yeah, overalls versus skin. Yes, maybe she's just oil resistant. I don't know. Just slides off her slick body. It's all wrong. But yeah, okay. AOB from E3 this year, AOB. Sam. We touched upon VR. I think we're okay with VR. VR was a big thing this year. I think that Sony's positioning of their PSVR has done really well post this E3. They've got a lot of games. The Batman thing is a system seller almost in itself. I did play some Oculus stuff that was good. Shout out to a game called Wilson's Heart. That was great in a kind of spooky, psychological, freak you up kind of way. More jump scary than Resi, but kind of stylish.
Bit edge of nowhere more like, I guess.
Yeah, it was like,
which has lots of
creepy hospital scenes.
Oh god!
But yeah,
sounds horrendous.
It's one that I can imagine some people hyperventilating with.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
But yeah, VR. I'm pretty much sold on VR now, off the back of it. So.
Yeah, I think PSVR is going to be the one that gets people actually into it.
Yeah.
Because it's like I said, you know, it's a complete package. So we'll see. Obviously, people have still got to spend a lot of money to get into it.
It's going to be, I mean, I guess to get all the stuff, you're going to have to spend the best
camera
part.
And the Move controllers and the headset. And
$500 in the States.
For everything.
For the camera, Move controllers and the headset, and I think VR Worlds.
Okay.
So that's five little experiences, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if that's the same deal in the UK, I guess it'll be 400, 420.
450 or something, maybe?
Well, I think the base unit, just the headset alone is 399 in America, 350 here.
Okay.
So I think 400. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of the cost of what a PS4 was originally, is it?
And then you might have to buy a PS4 Neo if you want that as well.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the new consoles we saw just yet. We haven't got time anyway.
No, it's too many things.
It's the Xbox doing two consoles in the same presentation was just like, what are you doing?
Well, they screwed themselves over, didn't they? Because I'm not going to buy an Xbox One S now because I want the Scorpio.
That was
silly.
Naive. I don't know what they were thinking.
And also,
but
it wasn't anywhere about. Like, you could play Forza Horizon on it if you queued.
Oh, for the Xbox One S?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's coming out in August. I want to touch it.
Yeah.
I want to press its buttons.
They were
and
all
have
in boxes.
Yeah.
I did hold one of the new pads, though, with
they
the grip,
are
with
nice.
the softer back.
Yeah.
They were pleasant. I enjoyed that. Although I've always thought, actually, that the Xbox One pad is slightly better than the PS4 one. It's just a personal preference on shape, I think.
I love the Xbox One Elite controller.
So. I don't have an Elite, but it's again, it's the money, though. It's like, it's 120 quid, right?
Yeah. I did buy... What is wrong with me?
Because you've got... That's fine. That's what people do. They buy things. I mean, it would be terrible if no one bought these things.
If I'm a journalist, I got no money.
Yeah, you know. Unbeknownst to many people who might read games journalism or cry out that we get everything for free. We don't get everything for free.
No, we don't.
It's
no,
a myth. Bust those myths.
We do get some games for free, which is lovely and amazing.
Digital codes for free sometimes.
And I got a steelbook the other day. That was amazing.
Got a steelbook.
Yeah.
I do love
I'm totally
a good
sold
steelbook.
On them now. I originally thought, why does anyone want that? And now I've got one on my shelf and I'm like,
they're just
all
so
the
much
other covers
prettier.
Are so insignificant in comparison now.
I've got my share of steelbooks. Got an Overwatch steelbook. Mm. Got a Fallout 4 steelbook. You know, they're all there. They're all there. Some. I think I've got a Mortal Kombat 10 one actually.
Ooh.
I think I'll end up with about 8 copies of Mortal Kombat 10 over a while.
Oh, so, of course, yeah, I've only got one. That's enough.
One is enough. You only need one anyway. It's an all right game. I'm not down on Mortal Kombat 10. Should we call it there? Let's wrap our E3 wrap because, you know, we've got homes to go to. Sam, where can people who are listening, wherever they're listening to us at, find you on the internet?
I'm on the Twitters.
On the Twitters.
Apache Rose 3. It's for a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Ignore it.
It's a what song? Ago.
Red Hot Chili Peppers? Apache Rose Peacock?
I suddenly think less of you.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I didn't make the connection before.
But it was my gamer tag and now it's on everything, so I was like, I might as well stick
People
with it
are
now.
Embarrassed by their old gamer tags, aren't they?
Yeah, it's fine, whatever.
It says a lot about you as a 15-year-old or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, it's fine. I'm proud of it now.
Absolutely
maybe-ish.
Fine. And Digital Spy, they can follow you.
Yeah, they've got Digital Spy Games.
It's a good thing I wrote it down, wasn't it? Because you would know.
Because it's like Digital Spy Gaming, but the tag is Digital Spy Games.
Is that because there is a Digital Spy Gaming?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's been taken. Or someone just made a mistake.
Yeah, typo. No,
someone somewhere got fired. you can follow Vice Gaming if you want to on Twitter at Vice Gaming. I mean, I recommend you do, because that's where all of this stuff that we talk about ends up. Okay, until we next do one of these little sit downs. Bye, everyone. Try not to crash a car or fall off a ledge or, you know,
a really big puddle.
End up in hospital or drown in a massive puddle until we speak again. Bye bye.
Bye.